Good morning. Welcome to Eden Valley again. There might be some that had come in last night later and weren't here for the evening program with the beginning keynote address by Frank Fournier. Thank you so much for that, Frank. It was a blessing to me. And kind of wish he was up here this morning. I'm not really the speaker, Frank is, but I spent a lot of time up in this desk and. But it's been a long time ago. I don't feel quite as in shape for speaking as I used to when I used to have to do it. But I want to just focus this morning on a few thoughts that will help us to realize the purpose for the... Well, we don't have our banner up. It succumbed to the plastic tape that didn't support it. And I think it'll be up there soon. They're working on getting that back. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the carrying of the vision and the faith ventures that Eden Valley has been so well known for over the years. And most of you, if not all of you, are here because of those ventures in faith, those opportunities to carry the vision near and far. And As I've been a part of this work for the last more or less 50 years in one way or another, not always here, many times out in the field or at another supporting ministry affiliated or united with Eden Valley in our work, I've been so blessed to see so many of those that God is using to carry on the vision. And here, as I look out on this audience today, I see some who have shared that over the years with me. And I see some, like the young man that introduced me, who said he was 1 year old when I first was president. Well, that's kind of a shocking type of presentation, but it's okay. I'm 81 years old, so you can figure back a little bit. The Lord has blessed those years that he's given me the privilege of serving with. So what is our theme for this weekend? Carrying the vision. So maybe we should look at that just for a minute. What is this vision that we're talking about? I'd like to turn with you to Proverbs 29:18. I think we all know this verse, but let's go there. That's almost the last chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. So we need the vision. We need to carry that vision. Otherwise, the people are perishing all around us. The world is perishing for the need of the vision that we have to share, isn't it? It's far worse now than it was 60 years ago, that's for sure. And it's a lot worse than it was even 10 years ago. 1 year ago, even, we could say. Where there's no vision, people are perishing all around us. And where there's no vision for an institution, where there is not a people who can come here and give their lives and their hearts and place their lives in the furrow of this world's need, the vision is going to fail. And I'm so happy to hear and to see the results of the continued vision to make agriculture, the ABCs of the work here at Eden Valley. It's always had that reputation all the time I've known it anyway. And I look back with great pleasure on the days and the years that I spent here helping to promote and encourage the work of agriculture. My son-in-law came as one of the farm manager here at Eden Valley. He lived in the house just down the road here. And Whitmar still thinks of his days at Eden Valley with joy, and he's still promoting agriculture around the world now as a member and a featured speaker in many of the Adventist agricultural seminars that take place. So we have a vision. Eden Valley has a vision, and it's not just agriculture. It's also training, as we heard last night. The educational part of the vision is very important, and that all came to us because others had that vision before us, perhaps at Eden Valley, I mean, back at Wildwood or up at Oak Haven or different places where God has helped to encourage and sustain that vision for reaching the world with the message of Jesus and His soon coming. So where no vision is, if we don't have the vision that we're talking about this weekend, we perish. We don't have anything really to live for. There's no purpose in life without a vision. And that's what I believe the wise man is saying there in Proverbs. Then Paul had something similar to say, and yet it was a carrying forward of this vision back in, let's turn it, Acts 26:19 to see what Paul has to say about the vision. 26, verse 19. Paul said, and he was talking in his defense to King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly what? The heavenly vision. It's my prayer these many years later that I won't be disobedient to the vision that I received as I worked among you here at Eden Valley. And that each of you, as you learn here, or as you are ministering in one of the ventures of Eden Valley, the faith ventures that this institution is so well known for, that you will also be faithful to that heavenly vision. Like Paul, be able to say, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So, what is the vision? I'd like to just suggest that it's God's purpose for us to reach the world with the hope of eternal life and how to receive it and our response to God's leading and providence in sharing that vision with others. That's kind of my version of the explanation for what the vision is. God's purpose for us to reach the world with the hope of eternal life, how to receive it, and how to respond to God's leading and providence in sharing that vision with others. That's venturing out in faith to carry the vision. So what does this term, or the last phrase, mean as we look at it? Carrying the vision. Carrying the vision. Is it something we can carry that people see? Well, sometimes it might be, but more often it's an attitude, an aptitude of using the talents God has given us. Let's look at Matthew 24:13. And see what Jesus said about this vision. He's just finished telling the disciples a little bit of what they can expect down the road. Some of what we are looking at and seeing as part of our heritage today, our expectations, what we can expect down the road. And so Matthew 24:13 says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We have to carry the vision to its completion, don't we? We have to endure to the end, do what God has called us to do until the job is done, or our part in it is done. And then we will have that part in carrying the vision, completing or carrying out the vision in faithfulness right down to the end, to whenever our part of the work is done. Now we have another part of our motto. We're carrying the vision, but what are we doing with the vision? How are we carrying it? Eden Valley's term, what's well known, is faith ventures. What does that mean? It's an interesting term. Ventures of faith or faith ventures. What are faith ventures? I'd like to suggest that there's three aspects to this idea of venturing out by faith. This is taken from sixth volume of the Testimonies. I'm going to turn there to page 462. Because I like to see it in the somehow in the printed work, it looks better than just quoting it. Now, you who are students, listen closely too. Approach your Savior with full confidence of living faith. There's the faith. Faith ventures. Approach your Savior with full confidence of living faith. Now, here's the venture part of it. Joining your hands with His, that's the first step. Join your hands with Jesus. Second step is go where He leads the way. Don't go ahead or don't lag behind, but go where He leads the way. Make sure that that's taking place. Then the third step is kind of like what Jesus was what the servants were asked to do when Jesus was at the marriage there in Capernaum. His mother said to the servants, what did she say? Whatever He says, do it. And that's what this says. Whatever He says to you, do. So the vision then is approaching your Savior with full confidence of living faith, and then the venture is to join your hands with His, go where He leads the way, and whatever He says to you, do. Don't forget it. You'll never fail if you follow that simple formula of placing your hands in His, going where He leads the way, and whatever He says, do it. Then we will be able to say, as Sister White did, there is no need to doubt or be fearful that the work will not succeed. God is at the head of the work, and He will set everything in order. That's from Two Selected Messages, 390. And I like Steps to Christ, my favorite little book. This is one of those books, I don't know if some of the older folk remember the little green-colored paperback, Steps to Christ. Well, that was what my book was, and I used it so much that it got, the pages started falling out, and I had my mother-in-law rebind it for me years ago, and she put a leather cover on it, so I carry it wherever I go now. But this is a beautiful statement that helps us to see how God's leading is dependent not on us, but on Him, and that we don't have to be fearful or worry about its success. Here's the sentence I want to share. They, that's us, are not required to weary themselves with anxiety about success. They have only to go forward quietly, doing faithfully the work that God's providence assigns, and their life will not be in vain. Can you accept that as a motto for your life? Go forward, not weary, not worried, and not concerned, and not fretful about circumstances or how things are turning out, or even somebody that's critical of you, or that puts you down, or doesn't agree with you. Don't worry about that. Just go forward as God leads the way, doing faithfully the work that He has assigned you, and your work will not be in vain. Don't worry. Steps to Christ, page 83, the very last paragraph. Okay. Carrying the vision. This weekend, we're celebrating 60 years of carrying the vision. At this kind of opening morning, Frank had the opening night last night. I have the opening morning this morning. At this opening morning of our meetings, I'd like to suggest that we insert one more word in our theme, carrying the vision. I think we're here because we want to carry on the vision. We don't want to just see what happened in the past. We want to see how we can have a part in the future, carrying on the vision that has been started by faithful workers and leaders in the past. Carrying on the vision. Ellen White wrote, and I Well, I have the book here, but I'm going to read it from here. It's actually, the original was in Life Sketches, page 196, and she wrote these words: "We have nothing to fear for the future." How many can finish it? That's right. "Except we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teachings in our past history." Well, that's what we're here for this weekend, is to see how God has led us and His teachings over the years. But Sister White went on to say something more in that paragraph. She went on to say that she had traveled every step of the way of advance to that point and was filled with astonishment and praise to God and confidence in Christ as leader. Now she's expressing, down close to the end of her life, this was written in 1902. She lived a few years longer than that, but this was near the end of her life. And actually, if you look back at when she began in the work, when she was part of the early Millerite movement there before 1844, Ellen White and her dedication to the Lord's work probably started back around 60 years before she wrote this statement. 60 years of progress that she had looked at. How many years of progress are we looking at Eden Valley? Again, 60 years. So Sister White was looking at those 60 years from 1848 or so to 1902. She was looking at that, and she was saying that she had been filled with amazement and astonishment and praise and confidence to God as leader, to Christ as the leader. Yes. So over this weekend, we are reviewing our past history, the Lord's leading over these past 60 years. Sister White was also reviewing 60 years from 1842 to 1902. Then 60 years later, in 1962, Eden Valley was born. 1902 to 1962. So 60 years after she wrote those words. And then here we are, another 60 years later, looking back over the way God has led us here at Eden Valley. Interesting how God has used us through these years to help fulfill the vision that He led Sister White to offer to His people, to His church. As we think of it, I hope that there's not another 60 years that we have to look forward to. I don't believe there is. In fact, the interesting thing about that word six or 60 is it's the multiple of years times 1,000 that we've been on this earth since sin began. And so I believe that the time of this rule of sin in this world is nearly over. We don't know when Jesus is coming. He hasn't revealed that. And He's told us we shouldn't speculate over the day or the hour of His coming, but we should know the seasons. And we're in the seasons of the end, aren't we? And I believe that we should move forward with full faith and confidence in our leader, just as Sister White did 120 years ago when she wrote those words, "I am filled with astonishment and praise to God and confidence in Christ as our leader." My involvement with Faith Ventures began early in my life. I was talking about six. I spent about the first 6 years of my life just as a little boy, growing up first in Canada and then down in Washington State, where Frank lives now. And then we received a call to go to the mission field. When that big white letter from the General Conference came, and my dad opened that up and shared it with us kids and with the rest of the family, it was an exciting thing to hear those words. "You're invited to come and work in the South American division in Lima, Peru, and we'd like you to accept a mission call." For 6 years, we served in Peru and Bolivia. What a privilege it was. What a joy as a boy. And I know that the roots of adventure for God were born in my heart during those years. I know because I purposed from a young age to serve God and to be a part of His work. And I praise the Lord that I've been able to. And I still don't hesitate to accept His call when He calls to serve in some way. We went to Lima, and when we arrived in Lima, I, as a boy, was a little disappointed because, you know how we get stereotypes in our mind. And I thought of going to a mission field as going to a jungle area someplace, living in a mud hut with a thatched roof house, banana trees and coconut palms around us. But that wasn't the way it was in Lima. It was a fairly modern city, even in that day, back in 1948. But we still had some wonderful, challenging, and thrilling experiences down there. I remember going into the Amazon and the jungle, going up and spending a month in a little village called Ucayali. No, the village was Unini. The river was Ucayali. And today there's a thriving mission station there. At that time, it was just a little Adventist settlement in the edge of the jungle right by the river. Today they can fly in where we took 3 days on the river, poling up the river and paddling up the river in a dugout canoe to reach that station. Now they can get there in 15 minutes with the airplane. And so God's work is advancing fast, and He has told us that we should use the means of modern invention in order to reach the world and finish the gospel to this earth. So that's appropriate. But time wouldn't allow me to go through all of the adventures that a boy looks back at and or an old man looks back at it and enjoys his time as a boy. But, you know, as I was there in South America and Peru first, and then we transferred over to Bolivia, we didn't fly back and forth like the missionaries often are able to do today with modern transportation, because it took us a lot longer to get there. And they kept us there for 6 years. So when we came back, it was kind of like an adventure that as a 7-year-old boy, and then as a 13 or 14 years of age, you come back to this country, and it's, and I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it was kind of like going to heaven, from a third world country to a modern place that I'd never ridden on an elevator before, and these moving stairways, you know, were totally new. I tried to get on there, and I didn't know how to stay put. I kept backing up and holding onto the rails, and you know, pretty soon you're out of step with things. All of that was brand new for us kids after we came back. Television was brand new. They didn't have any television in Peru at all, or in Bolivia. So coming back here and seeing those little kind of round-shaped black and white TVs was really an exciting experience for a 13-year-old. And I won't tell you some of the silly programs that we watched, but they were just kids' programs, very innocent, and yet they were something that was amazing to us. I think they maybe had some place in South America, some experimental stations with television, but they weren't available to the general public. So our time there ended, and we came back to the States, and we spent 2 years in the General Conference, Dad working for ESDA, the organization that took care of the missionaries and their belongings and got tickets and so forth. And then we were called for another 6-year period down to India. And we spent 6 years in India, and there I finished my high school at Vincent Hill School up in the Himalayan mountains. And again, the idea, the desire for serving in God's work was strengthened even more. When I came back during that period, I was going to mention, we went up to Canada where my grandpa was still living then on the farm. And I remember one morning he took me by the hand, and after he'd finished milking the cows, he left the pail of milk there at Grandma's for her to boil it and get the cream separated off and so on. And then he took me by the hand and we walked through the orchard up to the side of the hill there in Kelowna, British Columbia. And there under a cherry tree that he called Grandma's cherry tree because she loved the cherries from that particular tree. There were two depressions in the dirt where he had obviously been kneeling on a day-by-day basis. He said, "This is where I pray for you and your family every day while you're there in the mission field." And what an honor this young boy felt as he knelt beside his grandpa, a tall Swede, you know, that's given his life in hard labor, but still also following the Lord in lay preaching and helping to establish little churches up in the northern part of BC. Anyway, we had a wonderful prayer time together, and to hear my grandpa mention my name in prayer and dedicate me to the Lord and encourage me to follow in my dad's footsteps, that was a real part of helping to establish in me the vision that I might carry on the adventures of faith that my dad had led out in. Well, as I say, we went to India and we spent another 6 years, and that was in preparatory service. I went 1 year to Spicer College and came back to the States and finished my college at PUC. And that was about 50 years ago, 60 years ago, actually, when I was at PUC in 1962. And I graduated in 66. Anyway, it's just interesting to see these periods of your life going forward. And it wasn't very long after having finished college that we went to Wildwood and spent some years there at Wildwood. But this is about the time when my direct involvement with Eden Valley began, because we were invited by a team of workers who are church leaders who'd come down from Canada and visited Wildwood, and I think it was probably came to Eden Valley's too, and Oakhaven, and also to Little Creek. Back then, Little Creek was still there. Denzel, I think, was from Little Creek, so that's a familiar name back here at Eden Valley. And so as we were invited by these folks to come up and start a project up in Canada, Silver Hills was born. Has anybody eaten Silver Hills bakery bread? That came from Silver Hills, and it's still being produced, and it's using the name of the institution that we helped to build. But why do I call it an Eden Valley project? Because Dick Forrester was one of our leaders that came up with us. Bill Dahl and Dick Forrester and our family came up here together. We had a caravan and we headed up for British Columbia. And there we started Silver Hills Institute. A couple years later, we were asked to go over to Earl's Court, which is the forerunner of Fountain View. How many know Fountain View? I think everybody does. They're well known now. And our choir here is being led by one who made Fountain View kind of put it on the map with the music that Craig and his team there put together and made so much appreciated through general conferences and ASIs and Youth for Jesus meetings and different opportunities for sharing. Well, we had a part in helping the pioneering work that became Fountain View Academy. And then we went down to Belize where we started a little school called La Loma Luz. And I think it's still operating, a little hospital that the Mandal started down there. And we had a year of training young people from Guatemala and Belize and Nicaragua who came to our little training center there in Belize. But shortly after that, Eden Valley again became directly involved in our lives and called us to come and help pioneer what had been an older school over in Japan called Mount Akagi Institute. 30 years before that, Madison College in Tennessee had started the little project in Japan just shortly after the war. And they had a nice property there. They built a nice big sanitarium. They had a high school, they had an elementary school, they had quite a big property there at that time. But it had lain dormant for 30 years. The leadership had gotten sick and come back, and they didn't have trained leaders from Japan to take it over. And so it just laid there with the caretaker, preserving it at least a little portion of it where the buildings were. And so we were able to go back. And you saw that last night in the video. You saw that same property with new buildings built. But that was one of Eden Valley's early adventures in faith. And so we had a part in helping to carry the vision to Japan. Well, it wasn't too long after coming back from Japan and spending some time at Wildwood before we were called to come and serve here at Eden Valley directly. And for 12 years, we enjoyed a special relationship here. I think six of those I was here as president. Other 3 or 4 years, I was helping with the missions projects and director of missions and helping with the evangelism. Well, I need to go on because there's some other things I want to share with you. I want to look at, as I've been preparing for this talk this morning, I took out of my shelves this little stack. Anybody recognize these? I think we got one in our packet today. I didn't bring mine up here, but I think it wasn't a current one, but it was a fairly recent Faith Ventures. There we have our title. Well, the first one that I have here, and I'm not going to go through these, so don't get worried about that. I've gone through them at least twice just in the last week or two. And here's a list, a tiny, finely written list on both sides of the articles that I specifically had a part in because I was the editor here. And I was doing the missions work, so I collected the stories and brought them back and shared them through the pages of Faith Ventures. And we're privileged to have Ken Miller back here. He was the one that helped print some of these. He probably printed this issue right here back in, 1990. That was the year I got here to Eden Valley. But this particular issue was not Faith Ventures. It was called Thoughts back then. I don't know if there's anybody here that remembers when the little newsletter here was called Thoughts. Eden Valley, Thoughts from Eden Valley. Well, this was December of 1978. And this is specifically focusing on the work in Japan, Mount Akagi Institute. This is our little team of workers, mostly from Canada. Our family and Jan Rosted, who was here as an educational leader part of the time too, especially later on. And then the John Rutlands, who were working with us at Earl's Court, are the predecessor to Fountain View. And so that's the families that were here. And we had four students from the college, from the university there in Tokyo or outside of Tokyo, that came and joined us, helped with translation, helped with building, helped with a lot of the projects. And we had a wonderful time really pioneering in a project that was fallen down over 30 years of neglect, through 30 years of neglect. We had an old building that the whole back wall was totally wiped out. It was totally non-existent. We had windows that were all broken out. We covered them with plastic so that we could keep out the cold wind. The roof had many of the shingles taken out, and the rafters, some of these main supporting rafters were missing as it had been vandalized over the years. So we had a wonderful experience of pioneering, working together with no electricity, no running water, except as it ran out of a hose that we had dangled over the top of a piece of plywood for our shower. Cold water in a temperature that gets as cold as Eden Valley. So I can still hear the screams of some of the little kids as they were getting their Friday afternoon shower. So it wasn't always easy, but it was enjoyable, and we saw the progress as later we had a little gas hot water heater that would kind of an on-demand hot water heater that would provide a little bit of warm water for the children. Or we had ofuros, which is a Japanese bath that we could heat up with a gas flame and heat the water up for our baths inside that old building. we set things up gradually and survived that first winter and began building on the new house. Back here at Eden Valley, they were helping by prayers, by support, by encouragement, by fundraising. There was a doctor who owned a whole string of nursing homes, and he sold several of those nursing homes and donated all the money to help the work in Japan. And that provided three homes for us. The materials were purchased here, put in a big container, and shipped over to Japan. And we, as the builders over there, put our hands to the work and began pounding nails and putting the homes together. So those same homes are the ones you saw last night in the pictures. After 35 years now since we built them. Now they're starting to, it's a very tropical climate there. It's a humid climate, much like back in Tennessee where we live. And so buildings deteriorate over time very quickly and easily. And so those buildings had gradually begun, there were leaks, the roof needed replacing. You know, shingles don't last forever. Most of them, 20 to 30 years is the maximum. And so we've replaced the roofs, we've replaced ceilings, we've repainted. Plumbing was bad, so we'd have to redo the plumbing. And these families that you saw last night are faithfully doing that job. I just can't believe how well they've pushed ahead and improved things so much in the last 4 or 5 years since we were there, Frank. And it's just amazing to see the buildings flourishing, the grounds looking nice, and the ministry moving ahead and working especially with media to reach the Japanese people. That's why Rumiko is so involved with it, because she loves to see the message go forward to her people. She's the only Adventist in her family, the only Christian in her family. So we pray every day for her brothers to somehow be able to see the truth and the love for Jesus that is ours. But what a privilege it's been to be a part of the Faith Ventures of Eden Valley. But, as I say, I was looking through these magazines. I think I've got about maybe 15 or so here. And it's not a complete set, but it's one that I treasure. And I was just looking to see a little bit of what it meant to go forth in a venture of faith from this institution. And what places it might have included. Like I say, this page that I showed you has probably 36 or 40 different articles listed on there. And I wanted to just go over this. I'm just going to read it fast and in no particular order. But here's some of the countries represented in the pages of these faith ventures. Honduras, New Zealand, Costa Rica, Cameroon, Peru, Canada, Japan, Belize, China, Venezuela, Uruguay, Chile, Colombia, Dominica, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Guam, Taiwan, St. Vincent, Korea, Ukraine, Czech Republic, Malaysia, Switzerland, Spain, Kazakhstan, India, Nepal, Philippines, Puerto Rico, Kenya, Australia. Is that enough? God has really blessed this institution to have a worldwide ministry. And those of you who have been here as workers over the years, those who have supported the work here over the years, those who have faithfully come and studied and gone out to help start projects can look forward to rewards in heaven. It's going to be wonderful up there when we get to share with one another how the Lord has led in the faith ventures that He's called us to accomplish or to be a participant in. Truly, Eden Valley has heeded Christ's injunction to go into all the world and preach the gospel, venturing by faith, carrying the vision. Like Paul, we may say, Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth. Here's the word that I like to add to our motto. Carrying on the vision, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our destiny, folks. We can press toward the mark. You who are young people down at Castle Valley, glad you put the name back where it belonged. You who are there in Castle Valley, train yourself. Come here and get a little extra training, maybe in agriculture and some of the principles and things that will help you to be a better missionary, getting experience in leadership and things like that. You'll be blessed as you carry what you learn to the regions beyond, to the faraway places, to all of these countries that I listed. Maybe there's 36 at least there, and there's probably more that I missed as I went through those issues. But my prayer, my hope, is that we can be as confident in Christ as our leader, as Sister White was and Paul was when they spoke of pressing forward and having nothing to fear for the future, except we forget the way He's led in our past and the way He's going to lead as we go forward into these final days of this earth's history. Shall I go ahead and have prayer here? You know, we've been sitting a long time. I'd like to have us kneel together as we pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we count it all joy to be participants in the ventures of faith that you've called us to through this institution. We count it a great privilege to look forward by faith to all that you're going to use us to accomplish in the closing days of this earth's history. Help us not to be fearful or to hold back, but to take hold of your hand, Lord, to listen to your voice and follow in your footsteps, and whatever you call us to do it. And I know we can be assured that you will bless and that we will go forward not into another 60 years of venturing by faith, but into an eternity of adventures throughout the universe, carrying the gospel of Jesus' love to unfallen worlds beyond and sharing with them what a privilege it's been to have a part in the work of God on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for this vision, and we pray that you'd help us to carry it out by faith in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.